Hey guys, it's Alfredo.
And this is Brian.
And this is Film Purgatory. So thank you guys so much for joining us this week. Brian, I think we lost at least half of our audience because of the last couple weeks.
I think it was worth it though.
It was.
So we lost like what, 2,000 out of 4,000?
Yeah, I'll take it. For those 2,000 left, thank you much. Thank you very much for joining us.
It means we have a strong foundation now.
Good foundation. These guys don't give a shit. But worth it. We're going to keep it light, though. Going back to comedy. And we're going to be talking about two comedy movies. Doubleheader. Due Date. And Identity Theft. How does that work? Identity Theft. Like,
I think you got to have somebody's social for that, no?
I don't know. I have Nordic. Norton? The...
For Identity Protector?
I don't know. I don't have it. I was just talking shit. I was hoping we'd get a sponsor.
If yeah, HBO hasn't called us by now, I'm very concerned.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. They might be in our DMs. But yeah, guys, starting off with a good movie, Due Date, from 2010. It's directed by Todd Phillips. You guys know Todd from The Hangover, Road Trip, Old School, very similar type of movies. And, of course, Joker.
Yep. Very different.
It's very different from what he's used to,
yep.
What we're used to from him. But good cast in this one. We have Robert Downey Jr. Obviously, you guys know who he is. He's Iron Man, for those of you who don't. Zach Galifianakis, he's from the Hangover franchise. Jamie Foxx, he was in that new movie, Day Shift. You ever see that one?
No. It's on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix, yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah, it was all right.
All right.
It's very forgettable, though.
Like most Netflix films?
Yeah, most. Snoop Dogg's in it. Why is Snoop Dogg in everything?
I think that Death Row money is running out. I don't know.
Shit.
He's easy to market. Snoop, D-O-double-G, you know what I'm saying? Like, he catches attention, so I think it's easy. You bring him on, he's like a big name.
He's getting older.
Yeah.
He's
starting
older.
To look like that skeleton that was looking for chocolate in the SpongeBob episode. The old lady.
Yeah. Michelle Monaghan. Monaghan.
That was Robert Downey Jr.'s wife, I remember.
Yes.
She's cute. She looks wifey material.
She's in Maid of Honor. Danny McBride.
I recognize that name.
Danny's, he's in a lot of movies, but he's never a leading actor. I don't feel like he is. He's very much a supporting actor. You guys might know him from Pineapple Express. He's Red.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's mainly in like funny movies.
Yeah. One Trick Pony, I think.
Tropic Thunder?
Tropic Thunder, yeah.
That one was good, too.
He was with Robert Downey Jr.
Maybe we do a Ben Stiller episode.
Ooh.
Nah, I don't know. I like that movie, though.
What was it? Ben, I Suffer from Sleep Apnea. Stiller.
I don't know. I don't remember that one.
We got to keep track of these type of stuff.
Ben Lip Filler Stiller. I don't know.
That's disrespectful.
He has no lips.
But I'll take it. Real quick, guys, in this movie, Peter Hyman, he's a successful architect making his way to L.A. to be with his pregnant wife when he encounters Ethan Chase, an aspiring actor. After several complications, Peter finds himself blacklisted from flying and without a wallet. At a huge disadvantage, Peter hitches a ride with Ethan, who also got blacklisted from flying. And they drive to L.A. before Peter's wife's due date. That's where the name comes from.
That's his urgency, really. I mean, it kind of sucks.
A lot of people make the correlation with this film with airplane, automobile.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
That one.
Yeah, that's the one with Steve Martin. And I forgot his name off the top of my head. I just know he played Uncle Buck.
Hmm.
But I don't remember. John... No, not
Goodman.
John.
No,
John Goodman is the other one.
Yes, the other one.
He's the guy from Roseanne.
This guy, Uncle Buck died, no?
Did he? I'll look it up right now.
We got our producer, chief producer, Trinity.
John Candy,
yeah.
I knew it was John, though. Wow. But yeah, similar plot.
Right.
Two guys stuck together trying to make it across.
Another one is Hollywood or Bust. That's Martin and Lewis's Hollywood or Bust. Very similar plot here.
Okay.
Like an intellectual guy is stuck in riding across the country with...
But a goof.
An idiot, okay. Basically. I'm not going to lie. This movie had its funny moments. It was a little corny at some times, but it was pretty funny at some times.
I think it's Zach Galifianakis' humor. He tends to play personalities that are cringe, that tend to be corny, because he gives me those vibes in every movie. I mean, I understand he's a fan favorite from Hangover, but even in Hangover, like, he had moments where I thought were kind of dumb.
Yeah, I think it's just him.
It's just him, in general.
Right. Yeah. He's just coasting off the success of the Hangover.
Right. But regardless, I still think the movie is watchable. I think overall it's funny. Robert Downey Jr. carries a little bit. I like his character in this movie.
I would say so. Robert Downey Jr. said that making this film was, quote unquote, the most glorious experience in his career. So it had to be fun. I'm not sure if they had to travel for this one. Judging on the cinematography, they did. Within the movie, they went across the border to the Grand Canyon.
Right.
I think they passed through Missouri at some point. So they did go through a lot, and you did see it. So I guess that might have gone through with the played into the experience, as Robert Downey Jr. is talking about.
Probably. I know he was, if I remember correctly, he was like closer to the east, and he needed to make it to California.
Right.
That's where his home is, right?
Right.
Where his wife is. So that's a long trip. Like, me personally, I don't know. I've done long trips, but I don't like them.
So
imagine having to do it with somebody like what's his name? Ethan?
Ethan Chase. Or Ethan Tremblay.
Ethan Tremblay. Oh, the aspiring actor.
The aspiring actor.
His headshots are so funny. Come on, that was a good...
A lot of stuff he says was funny, but I feel like a lot of his... I don't know, his ignorance was brushed off by his sad story, quote-unquote.
Right.
You know, his father passed away, and he was making his way to L.A. to be an actor, and he was taking his father, and he was carrying his father.
In Coffee Tin.
In the Coffee Tin, yeah. They actually, his father ended up drinking a little
they
bit
ended
of that.
Up drinking.
It was crazy. But, you know, if this film, or the screenplay for this film, was in 2009's Blacklist, which is a list of movies that are the most liked but yet unmade. So if this film could come from that, then I'm only curious on what other films are out there, at least the screenplays of movies that have not been made but people are interested in. I'm very interested in reading that list.
Probably a lot.
I don't know. I feel like you said, this I feel like this movie was really carried by the acting. Because like we mentioned before, this is very
unoriginal,
very recycled plot in this one. Yeah,
it is. It's done every few years. We get a movie similar to this.
Mm.
Where two guys are stuck together, hating each other, annoyed by each other, and then in the end, they're best friends. It's pretty regurgitated. Like, we've seen it in many different kinds of plots. It's every now and then we'll get a new one. It's like a Hollywood trope. I don't know. Every now and then we'll get a movie like it. I think Rush Hour comes to mind as like one of my original, where Rush Hour 1, they can't speak to each other,
right?
Because he thinks there's a language barrier, so stuff like that. There's always like a little different, a different
twist
to it, right? But in the end, if done correctly, it can be very funny. The hijinks can be funny. And going back to that reference to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, that's a funny movie.
I feel like the dynamic there, the chemistry was pretty good with Zach and Robert.
It was. So Fredo. These are comedy films, and we usually, with these comedy films, we'll give like a favorite scene, you know, something that catches our attention, that left an impression.
Mm.
I would say mine is that scene towards the end. They're already, I believe, in either Nevada, or they're one of the states close to Cali, or maybe might have been Arizona, but
right.
Where they have the gun, because it turns out Ethan had a gun this whole time.
Yeah, pulled it out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then... And they were arguing, and eventually the gun went off, and it shoots Robert Downey in the leg. And he, at first, he's okay, and then he's like, "Ah, oh my God!" You know, like it crept in, the pain and the shock. He's like, "Oh, it's cold," you know, whatever. They start driving faster. The Ice Cube song starts playing. It was, I don't know. I thought the scene was pretty good.
Was that after they escaped from, was it Border Patrol?
Yeah,
that shit was funny.
I don't remember correctly. Maybe he took the gun from that.
Uh-huh.
Or he might have already had it just hidden the whole time. I don't remember correctly.
If I'm not mistaken, they got there because Ethan, Zach Galifianakis' character, he was driving, and I guess he made a wrong turn. They ended up in the Mexican border.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that was...
Big mistake letting him drive.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, like, Ethan was high at the time, too, so...
That's like letting Jose drive.
Yeah. I mean, they were both pretty high.
Because well, I don't remember what they took.
I'm not sure, but remember Ethan stopped in Missouri to buy some weed. He spent all their money on weed.
Oh, that's right.
And he was smoking while Peter was asleep, and he got the contact high.
Oh, because he hotboxed the car.
Yeah, he hotboxed that.
Okay. That's funny.
I like that, but I'll do you one better. I'm actually going to change it. I like the scene where they're trying to get money from Peter's wife, and they go to, a Western Union? Mm-hmm. Like a check cashing store, whatever it is. But like, they're being attended by somebody, and then like played by Danny McBride, and you know they're frustrated. Obviously, Peter's pretty frustrated. He's trying to get the money. He finds out that he sent the money to the wrong name because Ethan gave him the wrong last name, gave him a stage name, Jose Tings. You know Jose Tings. Right. But like, it's funny because. You know, an altercation ensues between him and the clerk from that one, played by Danny, between that clerk and Peter, and he gets his ass whooped by a guy in a wheelchair because...
That's right, yeah.
And then the whole time, Ethan doesn't do anything. That shit was just funny. Like,
that is a funny scene. So, overall, 1 to a 10, Film Purgatory score.
Well, IMDb gave it a 6.5, and Rotten Tomatoes, I'm surprised on this one, gave it a 39%.
They're not high on comedies,
they're not,
though.
They're not high on a lot of things.
That's true.
But I don't know. I enjoy this movie. I'd give it a solid 7. It wasn't anything mind-blowing to me, but it was a good laugh. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch this movie. I recently saw it on Netflix just because it was on Netflix, and I needed something in the background. Makes sense. It was a good movie. It didn't try very hard to capture my attention. So I think it's a solid movie. 7 out of 10.
I'd give it a 7.5. I enjoyed this. And I think it's rewatchable.
Fucking bitch ass.
Like you said, you put it in the background.
Identity Theft 2013. It's a comedy directed by Seth Gordon. Seth directed Baywatch with Zac Efron and Dwayne Johnson. What's his obsession with Dwayne Johnson? He has to be in everything.
It's true. It's just, I think he's also easy to market. Yeah, I think there are characters, like I said, the Snoop Dogs, and just you have a name, it stands out, and just not just the name, but the physical figure, he's huge. I think he stands out. So I think it's just easy to market, honestly. So you bring him on, he's funny. Yeah, like he said, he has a lot of funny roles.
In this day and age, you have to have money, a good plot, and The Rock for some reason to have a good movie.
Yep.
That's fucking crazy.
Horrible and a giant boss. Gorilla.
And a giant gorilla. Horrible Bosses. And Four Christmases. That's one of the Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn.
I remember that one.
That was a Christmas movie. Would you consider that a Christmas movie?
Yes. It was a relationship drama, like comedy, you know, romance, whatever, disguised as a... Now, what's the more advanced coming of age? Like an adult coming of age of like understanding their parents and now having a better relationship with their parents as an adult.
You're asking me what genre is that?
Like, I'm just saying it's an advanced coming of age. It's an adult coming of age.
Jesus.
And then
Christ.
It's also disguised as a Christmas movie. So it's movieception.
Huh.
But all that to say is it's a mid movie. No, it really painted itself as funnier. Right. But I didn't find it that funny. It was okay.
Yeah.
Very forgettable.
Cast in this one, I gotta say, is a little bit limited. Led by Melissa McCarthy and Jason Bateman. Melissa was in Bridesmaids. Actually, the role for Melissa McCarthy was originally written for a man, but Jason Bateman saw or liked Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids so much that he wanted that role changed, and he wanted Melissa in there.
Melissa was funny in Bridesmaids. She didn't have that much of an impact. She wasn't too popular yet.
Right.
It's funny that we mentioned Bridesmaids because when you earlier said Maid of Honor with the Michelle Monaghan actress, I thought of Bridesmaids. So okay. That's why I don't know. I was just confused the two. But yeah, Bridesmaids was funny. Oh, I'm sorry, Alfredo. Identity Thief.
Yeah, this is why we can't have
nice things.
Chief Producer Trinity here and me making mistakes like that. You have to check me earlier on that. That's.
It's funny because I have the name right in front of me.
Yeah.
But I didn't look at it because, you know, when you read through something fast, it's like you assume, man. I was thinking, oh, identity theft. I'm reading it.
You make me look bad. You're embarrassing me out here.
Yeah, Identity Theft is a different movie. That's my fault.
Right. Jason Bateman, you guys know him from Ozark. Great show.
I love that show.
There's some haters out there.
Plenty. One sitting right behind me, I think.
It's all right. It's all right. Ozark was a great show. Fantastic ending.
Better than Breaking Bad?
John Favreau is in this one. He's in Iron Man. Jonathan Banks, you guys know him from Better Call Saul. He's that old guy. Why is he still working?
People like to see an old man be mean or be funny or be kick-ass.
Like, I don't understand how he's intimidating. He's not intimidating. Like, even in Breaking Bad, he was not intimidating.
I agree. I don't know. He's just a serious old man.
He's an old man.
Because I don't know if people respect that veteran vibe.
I don't.
Not even.
Sit down. Take your pills.
Right?
Chill out.
I don't know. But he's like an enforcer, apparently. And even though he doesn't, like you said, doesn't really look it. He acts it. You know, he acts serious and mean and rugged, whatever. Well experienced. Yeah. Plenty of experience with whatever he's doing and violence.
Breaking his hip out there.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely up there in age.
Sandy Bigelow Peterson?
That's a funny ass name.
That's a weird name. But that's the name of Jason Bateman's character.
What would you do if your family, you know, you're born, right? And they decide that Bigelow is a great middle name to give you. How mad would you be, you know, once you're in your adult years?
You know what? I would actually take that because I think of Deuce Bigelow.
Yeah.
And I love those movies.
But to have his name?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's a middle name.
But still, like, everybody will eventually ask. Sorry, people will eventually ask, hey, you have a middle name? Yeah. Oh, like, what is it? Bigelow.
European Gigolo.
Right. If anybody ever said that to me, I would laugh. I would just laugh and laugh, and I'm saying, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed, but I'm going to keep laughing.
So Sandy is, what is it, like an accountant in Denver? He's an accountant for this. No, he's, he works in an investing company.
Oh, so this is like a spinoff of Ozark. No,
actually, you know what? There were a lot of terms that he was using as far as accounts and money. That was reminding me of Ozark. So yeah. It seems like this guy is working a lot in the finances. I don't know. He just gives off that vibe.
But he looks the part. You know
he
what
does.
I'm saying?
He's doing it fine. Looks like a fucking nerd.
Right.
But it's fantastic. He plays it great. That's why I was a little hesitant when Ozark came out. I remember telling you this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can't take him seriously. But, hey, we saw it in Ozark.
Yeah.
Fantastic show.
But and it's a good point that you make, because even though the genre is very different and the tone is very different, the writing is very different, but the character can have some similarities. Like maybe less funny, but still a nerd, still a caring father, very serious, kind of mean sometimes, passive aggressive, but straight to the point. You know, like these are not different, like you said, not different attributes or characteristics, I should say, of the two characters. So yeah, he's trying not to stray too far from the character. Which is smart.
Yeah.
It worked out because I thought Ozark was great.
If I'm not mistaken, Jason had a hand in writing Ozark.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think he was one of the main writers.
That's fantastic.
Or co-creator.
Guy has skill.
I think Chief Producer Trinity is going to confirm with us. Yeah, he was actually the director and executive producer.
Look at that.
So very pivotal role in creating that, critical role, excuse me, in creating that show.
So Sandy Peterman is working in finances in an investing company, and he lives in Denver. He gets a call from random lady saying she works for some company and that his identity was stolen. He gives off information, private information, to said lady, played by Melissa McCarthy, whose name was what, Diana?
Yeah. Well, that was her fake name.
Well, she had a lot of fake names. She didn't even know her real name in general. Yeah. Her real name actually was revealed at the end. It was Dawn.
Dawn, yeah.
Dawn. So, yeah. Long story short, Jason Bateman's character, Sandy, gets his identity stolen by Diana. She takes out credit cards. She takes out IDs. And she goes on a spending spree. Ultimately, leaving the real Sandy at a huge disadvantage because he's expecting a third child.
Yeah.
And things aren't going too well with his job. He hasn't gotten a bonus in, what, 3 years? He's really looking to expand. And at the same time, him and other of his coworkers decided to start a new company, a new investing company. And it looks really bad that he's maxed out, what, like 6 cards?
Right. He's in the finance industry and his finances are terrible. Credit is terrible. Has an insane amount of debt. So, of course, it's like that's the worst person you want to go into business with.
Right.
So it kind of messes him up in more ways than one, you know.
Looks terrible. Fake Sandy, Diana, picks up a charge, an assault charge down in Florida. She lives in Florida. Go figure. Why do we get the butt of the jokes? What the hell's the deal with that? The worst place to live in Florida. First place in America, in Florida. That was used. That line was used.
Because Florida man and Florida woman make the headlines so much that people have already created a perception of us. And unfortunately, Miami is part of Florida, but we all know that it's really not.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's a give and take. Y'all can make fun of Florida, but we won't get offended because we know it doesn't pertain to us. We're a whole different area.
I'm just so frustrated. I'm just going to take my pet alligator and just go down the street. Fuck it.
Oh
yeah. We're going to get subs.
Pub.
But, yeah, so she gets an assault charge in Florida, and they arrest real Sandy in Colorado, or in Denver, and because he skipped the court date. They realize they made a mistake, and Sandy is suffering from identity theft. So, you know, it's looking bad for real Sandy. But he tries to get the fake Sandy over to Denver to confess his crimes because that was the only way he was going to clear his name and get everything resolved, was to get the real Sandy over to Denver and confess physically and take all the charges.
Right.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny the adventure that these people go through, because like in real life, people would just be like, you know, I lost my opportunity. This guy's like, I'm not losing shit.
Right.
I'm dragging you back with me.
Right.
I mean, now that we think about it, it's another similar plot that ends up being people have riding together, you know, traveling, and then in the end, they end up becoming friends.
I mean, that's why we chose these two films. They're very similar. You know, one intellectual, one idiot. And it works. I mean, the dynamic between this one, I wouldn't say is as good as Robert Downey and Zach. Excuse me. But that's not to say that they're not funny moments in this film. They're pretty funny moments.
Yeah.
Wacky. There's a little bit of a twist. The fake Sandy, i.e. Diana, is caught up with some, I guess, shady people that she sold credit cards to, and they ended up not working. And I think it was Jonathan Banks' character. He sends these two guys, or this guy and this girl, to try to get her and kill her because she did sell them that. So I guess there's a little bit of a twist, but ultimately this didn't really end up doing anything.
No, that's a minor twist. It's like you said, the movie is, you know, I think funny the first time,
right?
Kind of like most Melissa McCarthy movies.
Right.
You watch them once and okay, kind of funny, whatever, but you move on. I can. That's kind of why, if you notice, she had like a stretch there with a lot of movies, and then she kind of just fell off.
She did have an Oscar performance, or Oscar-nominated performance. I forgot what movie it was.
Chief Producer Trinity just reminded me that Melissa McCarthy is set to star in the new Little Mermaid movie, the live-action adaptation, as Ursula.
The Kitchen. The Kitchen. She had a great role in The Kitchen. I remember that specific.
And she was nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah, she was nominated in National Film and Television Award for Best Supporting Actor in The Kitchen, which I found really refreshing, you know, because before that, it was just, like you said, it was a lot of the same movies. And this was 2019, so I think this was one of the very first, or the very few, serious roles that she did take. So it's nice to see actors, you know, branch out and actually find success. We've seen that plenty of times. I would say with Uncut Gems would be the first one that comes to mind for me.
It's a good example.
IMDb gave this movie a 5.7 Rotten Tomatoes gave this a 19%. What the hell is up with Rotten Tomatoes?
More comedies that kind of forgettable, so
they're gonna... Yeah, but 19%?
It's rough.
I know. That's pretty low.
I know.
That's pretty low.
But that's why we tend to not agree so much with Rotten Tomatoes. We just use them because they are a big name and they're one of the most popular aggregate score. Because that's technically what it is. They are aggregate scores.
Film Purgatory score.
6.2.
Fuck you. How does it feel, huh? Yeah.
Hurts so good.
Yeah. Nah, but it's not that. It's nothing all that. This movie is...
Watch it once, put it on the background. If you want something lighthearted, you're not in the best mood, put it on. It's not terrible. It's not gonna bore you, but it's also not gonna make you wanna tell people, hey, have you seen this movie?
Or, right. Sorry. It's hilarious, nah. Yeah. It's alright, it's whatever. If you guys are interested in watching these movies, I think due date is on HBO Max.
Yeah.
To the max. And I rented Identity Theft. Saw it on YouTube.
Thief.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Identity Thief, yeah. Saw it on YouTube, so.
YouTube, yeah. It says here Hulu has it. YouTube TV has it. Apple TV. Vudu.
YouTube TV has it?
Never mind. It says not available on this device. So I think it's YouTube TV for, like, TVs, but not phones.
Bro gas.
I don't know. I'm not sure how YouTube. I've never used YouTube TV, so.
But yeah, guys. Watch them or don't watch them. Comedy.
Comedy week.
Needed it. Brian, have you seen anything? I just recently saw Bros.
Bros?
Bros.
What's that one?
It's an LGBTQ comedy or LGBTQ comedy slash romance film that came out. I think it's well represented, but I think this film does a better job at portraying relationships nowadays more than representation for the LGBTQ. Don't get me wrong, it's heavily saturated in it, which is good. It's a good thing. But it just tackles more relationship issues than
in general.
Yeah, it's a romance film.
Yeah,
and you get that a lot. But I think it's more modern, you know. It has certain things like Tinder, Grindr, stuff like that.
It'll appeal to, like, our generation, the experiences that we go through. Okay.
Definitely. It's more modern, you know, relationship issues, commitment issues, stuff like that.
Okay.
So I think it was an okay film. Overall, I give it a 6 out of 10. Nothing special.
So it the horrors fine. Of the dating, of the modern dating world portrayed perfectly.
Portrayed perfectly. Nice. Representing the LGBTQ.
Okay.
It was all right. It was whatever. Nothing special, but decent watch. 6 out of 10.
Okay.
So, Brian, next week is October
week.
Spooky season.
Best time of the year.
Best time of the year, according to some people.
Fall. I meant fall.
All right.
I like fall a lot.
Starting off spooky season, guys. Spooky season part 2. We're going to start or lead it off with creature features. What's up? I know you like those.
Yeah, I love.
Why do you like those?
I grew up watching them, and I had a fascination with, like, watching the little cities and these big monsters and just, like, a lot of destruction. I don't know. I always enjoyed it. It's a big reason why I loved Godzilla.
You're fucking weirdo. That's all right. It's cool.
Or even the original King Kongs as well.
Now you're talking. Wow. Now you're talking. Okay.
You're not that big, though. I'm just saying.
Okay. That's fucking whack. But, yeah, guys, we're going to be talking about some of the best creature feature films that we have come across. It's going to be a good one. We got a good spooky season part 2 this year. I'm excited. But yeah, that's going to do it, guys. We really appreciate all the support and all the feedback. If you like today's episode or have ideas for future episodes, please get in contact with us. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Our username is filmpurgatory or film_purgatory.
And please remember to turn on all notifications on your streaming services so you know as soon as we drop the latest episode.
Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you
next week.